your chin.
Welcome, you're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Mr. Kraz and Garth. It's Thursday the 19th of February 2015. If folks would like to get this podcast, it's available from iTunes, so you can download and subscribe there. Just look for the Kraz Files podcast, C-R-A-Z-Z, and you can also get this podcast from podomatic.com. That's our main podcasting website, so check out the Kraz Files over there. And you can also get it from Spreaker and SoundCloud.com as well if you want to have a listen to it over at those sites. You can also catch up with us on Facebook. You'll need to look for the Kraz Files on Facebook. And always plenty of stories going up there. And also our podcast each week going up there as well if you want to listen to it on Facebook. And also over at Twitter you can catch up with us. Need to search for the Kraz Files. You can also send us an email to thekrazfiles@yahoo.com.au about anything you want. And thanks for listening to our podcast. Okay, Garth, we're actually plugged in now.
Yeah.
We're all plugged in and ready to go for another week. And it comes around fast, doesn't it?
So, yeah, it certainly does.
Yeah, I can't stop it, but all ready to go today and fun to do. And great podcast last week with Lana from Red Eyes.
Yeah, she's great, isn't she?
Yes. And, you know, really positive. From that end, that was heard in nearly 36 countries, and pretty much every state in the United States except for Hawaii, many from Ireland, Germany, Hungary, everywhere, all over the world. So she and got many emails, and she has a lot of respect, her and Henrik. So just absolutely amazing, and she put that talk up on her end, and it just went out there. So it's always good to get our information out. So That was a great talk, and so I hope to speak to her again sometime in the near future. And today we are joined by my friend David Black, and he's a musician from the band Rust from Sydney. And I played two songs at the start of the podcast, Dave, for you. So we heard Boots and Buckles, and the second song was Suicide Sunday. Very much enjoyed that. So that will go out to all our listeners, and Dave will let you know how you can contact them and get their music. Dave, welcome to the Crazz Files podcast.
Great. Thanks, Adam. Garth, how are you?
Very well, thanks. Thanks, Dave.
That's
yes,
good,
Adam told me, filled me in a little bit about you, but I've never met you, of course, but
Dave and I used to
anyone,
work together.
Anyone, that, anyone that's interested in this type of thing to support it,
of course,
you know, it's great to talk to them.
Dave and I used to work together, Garth, a fair few years ago. I was at this terrible place for about 5 years, and Dave came in to work there. It's a warehousing job, probably about nearly a year after I was there, and he sort of was walking around with his spooked sort of look on his face, you know, a bit confused. And I thought, this guy's obviously knows what he's doing, and I could tell he knew that he'd just walked into a lunatic asylum, Garth, like a sanitarium, you know, that's what it was. So Dave eventually left. I left first. If I hadn't have done it, I wouldn't be here where I am now. So it was a positive change. And I lost contact with him and didn't have his number. And then when I signed us up to Facebook for our Facebook page, the Crazz Files, I saw Dave. He had posted on another friend's site, David Black. So I contacted him there. And we've been in touch ever since, sort of using our sites as news web feeds, you know. And so Dave's got his boots on the ground. And he was always into the stuff we're into, Garth, very much so. And everything he told me, I checked out, it was 100% spot on the ball. So he knows what he's talking about. And it's great to get a Sydney perspective, Garth.
Yes.
From people out there who have got their boots on the ground, who are working people and know what's going on. And we should have the General from Real News Australia on next week to give us his perspective. So it's good to get an Australian perspective as well. So it's good to have you here, Dave.
Great. Thanks, Adam.
So let us know a little bit about yourself, Dave, before we plunge into the deep end, you know, where you grew up and how you got into music and what's happening.
Oh, God, that's a book on its own, Adam.
Well, we like to know about everybody, you know. But,
yeah.
The band seems to be going really well.
Yeah, the band's doing really well. I'm having a hiatus from it at the moment. I've got a few things I've got to sort out. So, And I'm looking at going back to school next year as well, so... sort of taking a bit of a breeze. I've been playing with them for over 7 years. We've been halfway around the world half a dozen times, two LPs, six EPs, three CDs, and a whole bunch of tour dates, etc. I mean, you couldn't buy what I've done over the past 7 years from Contiki. So it's been an experience. Other than that, no, Australian born. Father worked for the Department of Defense and NASA, which is where I got my grounding in all things strange and wonderful. Just basically brought up in Australia and looking at it from a different perspective to what normal Australians look at their own country. So that's how I got into all of this. When my father died in 1997, I inherited a few books of his and just started reading some of the stuff that he was reading, and that's... when things started to twig, and when 2001 came along, it's sort of like my mind just went bang, and I just went, right, things are not what they seem. So a lot of research. I've probably spent about the past 15 years or so really, really researching what I've been reading and trying to fact-check things, and also coming up with my own conclusions after using a bit of critical thinking and Occam's razor. So if that pretty much sums it up for you.
Yeah, you just said that you had some papers and things written down, so I have absolutely no idea what you wanted to go into, but that's how we do it here, isn't it, Garth? We,
yeah, a little bit.
We generally...
A little bit.
Yeah, I don't edit this podcast. I don't boost the sound or anything. I have everything where I want, and I just put it straight up, raw. As
probably the best way.
Yeah, we just talk and I put it straight up. There's no fancy stuff, and a lot of people enjoy that. And as I said, it's we talk to a lot of guests from overseas, and Lana was good last week as well, Garth, because we could talk about a whole bunch of issues, not just generally someone's book or stick to the one subject. And I think that will be the same with Dave as well today. So What's your perspective, Dave? We do throw back a lot on Facebook, and we share a lot of stories about what's going on. What are the most important issues? Where would you want to start today?
The most. What do you Facebook's, think? Facebook's a funny place.
It's a funny, wacky place, isn't it? If you do something wrong,
you can make a multitude of enemies. Within
yeah,
5 minutes,
you have to get your pants pulled down, and you get spanked by Mark Zuckerberg on your bottom.
Oh, look, I've had worse than that. You know, I've put a point of view up on Facebook, and some people have just torn it to shreds. You know, and I just think, well, there's obviously some problems there. Facebook is like a litmus test for humanity, I guess, and see how far you can push it. So, I mean, the things that you guys would talk about, the sort of things that I push on Facebook, and a lot of people won't comment or won't like because they don't want to be known as a tinfoil hatter. So what happens is invariably when I put up a post on Facebook, I get just a couple of casual comments here and there or likes, et cetera, but some of the things I've put up have really angered people, and I think that's good. You know, the first step to truth is, you know, violent opposition. So if you can get someone to the point where they're yelling at you and telling you that you're wrong, it means you're actually making some headway.
Have to agree with that. I think it was Adam, you sent me that thing where there's hundreds of these students in these rooms linking into all these programs like Facebook, Twitter.
Oh, that was in Israel, in Tel Aviv. They have these.
Yeah, they come from there.
Huge rooms set up where there's all these students. They do it for free and part-time or full-time, and they're constantly, going all around the world to find anything anti-Israel or Jewish and then
jumping on it.
Jumping on it, and, I've had them on YouTube. All I did is put up a David Duke documentary on YouTube about what Israel are doing in Gaza, the incineration of women, children, babies, men. That's the same thing as what they did to the German people near the end of World War II.
Past anniversary of Dresden, didn't we?
Yeah, exactly.
Sunday or Saturday?
And you get these Jews on there sort of saying, who are you? They deserve what they get. We're just defending ourselves and all this stuff. I try not to deal with them. You've said that, Garth. It's hard once you have an opinion on social media or anywhere like that. A million people seem to jump on you.
I gave up because it was a waste of time arguing with these dickheads. An absolute waste of time.
It is. I mean, I was the ultimate troll target for quite some time, you know, and I get attacked from various reasons, from various quarters for things, and you could sit there and logically explain a point of view, but they still will not take it. They will still argue against it, even though you've stated it logically and well mannered. They still get very upset at things. So, it's kind of
that's right.
I've also read about Moscow also has one of these places where they pay journalists to keep writing stories, et cetera, and to bug people on YouTube. I'm sure every country does it, not just Israel, but I'm sure America, does it. It's not just the Israel perspective I look at. I look at it from a world view, and most countries run exactly the same. I mean, at the moment we've got problems in the Ukraine. And a lot of people are pointing the finger at Russia, but I don't think Russia's the aggressor. But at the same time, Russia's got its own secret service, KGB, et cetera, which is probably the mirror of what the US is running. So, in England, for instance, you've got MI5 and MI6. They'll be doing the same thing. Over here in Australia, it'll be ASIO. So it doesn't matter what country you go to, they're all out to outspy each other. And they'll attack anyone that has a differing point of view. So, I've been there, done that, and, sometimes it's not a pleasant experience.
But the crazy thing about all this is that it seems to have a source, the whole lot of it.
Yeah.
And when you start to look into it, particularly when you look into World War II, some of the information that's coming out, and we see about that, we see it has to go back to the same source because there's all these people within the different governments all over the world who are supposed to be fighting each other end up coming from a similar source.
Yep, and that's true.
This is crazy.
Yep. It is. So it's almost like there's a central governing body. I mean, I heard about this years ago and attended a couple of lectures about, the Club of Rome and the 300, et cetera, et cetera. And some people call it the Illuminati. I try not to use that word. But it's sort of like some central cabal controls things, and they're controlling everything, and they're controlling people through the media as well. So they're setting people's minds and then jumping on their agendas. And I think it's when you start to look at what the agendas are, then you start to find out who the people at the top really are.
Oh, it's an octopus.
Yeah, because
it's an octopus.
That's right.
They've got tentacles everywhere. I like to look at the Illuminati as like a gay men's club. It's like a gay men's country club, isn't it, Garth? Because they're all perverts and sickos. And like they're part of a private club. And at the top, they're all the same. You know?
Well, I mean, we've got some pedophile inquiries going at the moment. There's one going in England that they're calling a historic pedophile inquiry. They had to find a judge from New Zealand to sit on the panel because everyone was in some sort of position where they were connected to these people up at the top. We've also got the Royal Commission, is it, over here at the moment, looking into historic sex abuse cases, and some of the stuff that's coming out is pretty big. And, I mean, even last week, the Yeshiva, the Jewish Centre in Melbourne, copped a massive whack from, you know, the commission on child sex abuse. And what had happened was the head rabbi had quit last Friday because apparently he'd rung one of the victim's fathers and told him that he's ruining everything. So he had to quit. I mean, if this is we've also got the Prince Andrew allegations, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, Tony Blair.
The Epstein allegations. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the whole lot, you know. I mean, gee whiz, what's at the top? I mean, you think about it. I mean, I've been a pretty decent human being. I just lived life normally, love my kids, you know, all that sort of thing. But some of these people, I don't know what controls them. I really don't. It's just bizarre.
Well, it certainly is. When we had Judy on reading into some of her stuff, my God, it's frightening with the satanic. And it seems to be satanic because I followed up on that. And honestly, it's very hard to read. You know, with the abuse of these young children and what they do is, you know, it's hard to get it into the brain. You've got to sit there and read this stuff. And you think, these adults are doing this.
Yeah. And what they're doing is they're fracturing the children's minds at a very early age.
Yeah.
And the children compartmentalize everything. So, because they grow up very disjointed, not being able to articulate or express themselves. And I've read quite a few first-hand accounts of people here in Australia, and you read it and you think, this person's a loony. But then you sit down and think about it and think what they've been through, and you'd be a loony too. So I don't know about the satanic aspect. My view is more like, who is at the top that is doing this? Who is, you know, getting into this? I mean, we had a famous case not so long ago with one of our judges. His name was Justice Yeldon.
Yeah.
And
he
was caught, and he ended up committing suicide over being busted in a toilet with a 14-year-old boy. But the thing was that he was a protected species.
Yeah.
And people were looking after him, making sure that he didn't get busted. So this time when he did, it all came out in the open, and bang, Bob's your uncle.
Well, I think that's why I believe it's there's something satanic in there, because I believe he took his life because when they expose the system, I think there's an agreement in there that you're either going to get knocked out by somebody else or you're going to take your own life.
Oh, I reckon that would extend to JP Morgan as well.
Well, I think it would extend to a lot of these guys.
Yep.
You know, really, going way back. I mean, we were talking about a Ted Heath. And I couldn't remember his name on a couple of programs ago. It could have been the last one, Adam. My memory's not all that good today, but these days. But
I remember.
Heath used to take these young kids supplied by Savile, Jimmy Savile and a few others, out on his boat. Now, Dave, you've probably read these stories.
I'm up on Operation Yew Tree, yep.
Yeah, and I mean, this is horrific. And this guy was the Prime Minister of England.
Yep.
You know, and you talk to a normal person and you try to tell them, they look at you and say, well, come on, mate, you know, what planet did you come from? But this is actually happening.
Well, it is.
Right in front of us.
Oh, look, there's some of the things I've come across. There was the Canadian Native American that was in an orphanage who said that the Queen had come over just after her coronation, I think in 54 or 55 or something, and 10 children went missing from the orphanage.
That was Kevin Arnett.
Kevin Arnett.
Yep. There's also this weird YouTube clip of this Mexican female Mexican TV reporter wandering around the streets barefoot, screaming that the Queen eats children. All these weird and wonderful things I've come across, and they send shivers up my spine. I sort of think, is this the reality, Or is it, you know, well, I mean, we could go in a different direction and look at Hollywood as well and see what goes on there. I mean, we've had people turn around and say Hollywood's nothing but a great big pedophile camp.
Yes.
Yeah, with child stars. I mean, look at Britney Spears' breakdown. Look at all the other breakdowns that have happened. You know, people are missing their programming. I'm up there with MK Ultra and Monarch, et cetera, program, because I believe that people in Hollywood or artists, et cetera, use this programming in order to enhance their own performance. But at the same time, they're lending themselves over to different agendas in different avenues. Does that make any sense to you at all?
Well, it certainly does, because this is where I sort of think in my own mind that it's satanic. It has to be a dimensional thing. It's not of this planet Earth. It can't be because, you know, I mean, animals don't do the things that we do. And we're supposed to be above the animals with the ability to with our minds. But we don't, you know, it's horrific what the human species are capable of doing.
Exactly.
And there's got to be a reason. And why is this? You know, do we link in with another dimension, with another energy?
Well, it seems like they're tapping into that as well, isn't it, Garth? We talked about that. It seems like there's something within us that this force, if you want to call it, knows about, and they're tapping into it, you know, on such a deep way. But, I mean, we're able to sit back and analyze this, and it doesn't affect us so much, but it seems to affect a lot of people. And as you said, Garth, why are they doing this? You know, why? We have to look at it.
It's an energy thing, they claim. You know, I mean, a lot of authors have written about this, that from a young child that is in fear with the adrenaline running through their body is some sort of a satanic thing, this energy, and it's to do with their so-called soul. Well, I don't know what that's got to do with consciousness, but, I mean, I can't see how, if they can take their soul, how they can take their consciousness. That's a little bit of a...
Yeah, I don't think they can. I don't think they can take soul. I've seen clips and lots of stuff on, you know, the Greys and soul snatching, and you know, people saying they're being abducted, and they felt like in these experiments they were trying to capture their soul almost. But I don't think that's possible. But they're just, as you said, Garth, with that. As Judy Byington said, they get them in these black rituals, and they wear the makeup and stuff, and they get these children in such a fear state with that heavy amount of adrenaline and blood pumping and fear through their bodies before they go in for the kill, you know, and they torture them as well. So there's, you know, there's a massive releases of energy that they're feeding off, and that's why we always talk about all these world wars and... all this horror and stuff that we've seen, you know, in most of human history seems like something's feeding on us. There seems to be someone creating these terrible situations in history. I mean, you look at World War One and Two, World War Two in particular, and we've talked about that, Garth. Seems like 9/11 may have been some type of ritual sacrifice as well, with the 11 and the pillars. So they're feeding on something, and I think it's numerology. I think it's much deeper than what we think. I think we're just sitting here watching TV thinking, you know, what's going on? But this is very deep stuff that we're only touching the surface of.
Or how about the American Music Awards, for instance?
Exactly,
you see these people get up and dancing on checkerboards with Masonic pillars, et cetera, et cetera, and they're feeding off an audience of millions of people that are sitting there watching their idiot box.
Like Madonna did, Dave, at the Super Bowl with the horns. There was a few of those, and millions of people are applauding and giving their energy.
The halftime thing at the Super Bowl, Katy Perry and the Dark Horse last year. I mean, that Dark Horse was the horse out of the front of the airport, Denver International Airport. They call Blucifer.
Yeah.
Google that, guys, and have a look at Denver International Airport and the artwork that's
It's creepy stuff, and especially when they talk about what's under there, or there may be, you know, these entire cities under there where they're able to go. So we don't know what they're doing under there either. We don't know where all these millions and millions of children are disappearing to, which David Icke was talking about in the 90s, Garth. Where are all these millions and millions of children going without a trace?
Yeah.
One has to ask.
It shows that, you know, poor old David, he's a pretty strong guy. I can tell you he's put up with this shit for so long, but he's been proven correct. You know, so many people rubbished him because of his reptilian agenda. But, I mean, he's now being proven that there is something out there.
Especially
there
with no the, doubt about especially it. Garth, with the moon being some type of giant base, and also Saturn. When you look at Saturn and these rings, it's really bizarre when you get into what he's talking about. We don't really know what's. Mars is more out there, but the moon, something very weird's going on in there.
Well, the moon's
what I can't understand
space.
About the moon. The moon is the one face shows to us. I mean, if it was a planet, it would be spinning.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
It's anchored there.
Yeah.
It is. It's been put there in a certain position. Now, what does the moon control? The tides, correct?
Yeah.
What is a human brain made of?
Yes.
Basically 70% of water,
yeah,
is it
yeah.
not?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if it can control energy. The tides, it can control, and then we have the fluoride hitting the, you know, the pineal gland, and then bang, there you go. You know, it's cut
they
us
talk
off.
About the Dracula and the full moon.
Well, that's where the word lunatic came from, because people on the full moon would go after their nanas. So there's something to the moon. The moon, I believe, is an artificial construct that has been placed strategically in order to control something fluid in the world, whether it's the water or the water in our brains. It doesn't make sense. I've also come across a video blogger who's managed to capture a lunar wave, and he seems to think that it's, you know, it's a hologram. It's not real.
Mm.
And he's captured this wave that goes from the top of the moon down to the bottom, but it's not like a line like you would see on a TV screen or something. It actually contours and moves down, and you can see it. It's as plain as anyone out there, Google it. Please Google it. Just go to YouTube and look at lunar wave, and it will just more questions than answers.
What do you think about Saturn, Dave? It seems like it could be some
there's
type
a great
of
big
mega
bloody
base.
Hexagon on the top of it.
Yeah, it seems like they're controlling the Earth from there almost. If you think of the Truman Show, maybe that would explain it better. But it's really
well, have you ever? I can't remember the author's name now. I think he's English, but he had a thing called the Saturn Death Cult, and he's put a lot of research into it. And some of the things he comes up with, you know, like the hexagon that's on top of Saturn, when you look at it from a certain distance, it looks like a cube. Okay, now. What do millions of Muslims go and walk around every year? A big, bloody, black cube. It's in Mecca. And you've also got Jewish religions that wear cubes on the front of their heads. So is there something to this Saturn and to this death cult and to these cubes? So, I mean, this is diving down a big rabbit hole. But this coming back to the energy, you know, we are so, what would you say, blinded by, you know, what energy is, how things work. Resonance is a very important point as well. Sound and sound frequency. Being a musician and doing a lot of study of music, you know, things set at 440 tuning apparently keeps you in, you know, that's the normal tuning for all musical instruments set to 440. And it's some sort of frequency that comes out and stops people from doing things. I also learned playing, you know, being a songwriter, if you write something at 90 beats per minute, which is pretty much the human heartbeat, and use the chords G, C, and D, and use a few words here and there, words like love or only or one or things like that, you've got a hit song. And it seems to appeal to people. So I think the resonance as well as some sort of energy, and coupled up with the moon stopping it all from happening, is stopping us from accessing the other 95% of our brains.
Yeah.
Well, it seems that Tavistock is right into this and has been for many, many years.
Oh, yeah, yep,
and,
yep.
And Tavistock, before it was renamed Tavistock, went back a couple of thousand years. And a lot of people don't know that, you know. So yep. They've been delving into this, going way, way back into how the human brain and emotion reacts to certain things.
Well, exactly.
And so what you're saying is dead right. Absolutely correct. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? But this is what they've been experimenting on. And, of course, this is why they can get into our brains through the TV and through the music and through everything else.
I made a conscious decision in 2001 to stop watching TV. I only used to watch news and public current affairs, et cetera. But now even that's tapered off because it seems a bit biased and tapered, you know, sometimes. So, but no, the box doesn't go on. It's basically just for a bit of background noise once in a while, and that's it. But since 2001, no TV.
Yeah, or only the footy.
I don't even watch the football.
Oh, I'm a Manly supporter.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, he's... Ah, dear.
No, no thanks.
If I didn't watch Manly play, I'd be divorced. My wife would divorce me.
It's like that.
Well, we were talking with Lana about the state of the American TV, Garth. So I did say to her, at least it isn't as bad here as what they get, because it's just getting out of control there.
It's getting stupid over here too. Don't worry.
It is, yeah. And I try to sort of say, I hope that we don't go that way, but I can just see us going that way so fast.
Oh, we're going all the way down that way.
Yeah, and I can't see it stopping. So, it's I don't know what to do. I really don't.
Well, one of the latest TV shows is to sit there watching people watching TV. How creative is that?
I saw that.
We thought that one up. Geez, you didn't even have to be on drugs to think that one up. Gee whiz. I bet you it cops a massive rating. Some of the stuff that's on TV, just since I haven't watched it for a long time, it doesn't make sense to me anymore. So I don't bother with it.
Yeah, it's all porno. And we had the new Morality and Media release this year for 2015, and we had the Dirty Dozen, Dave, released last year of 2014, and this is highlighting all the filthy bastards who are pushing all this dirty pornography and stuff, you know, and these Jews are trying to push all this pornography. Garth, I sent you some links there where you're getting all these black gangbangs of young white women, you know, and they're talking really derogatory and calling them whores and sluts and all this stuff, and the Jewish producers are really pushing them to do this. This is what they want. But unbelievably, Dave, at the top of this list was Attorney General Eric Holder. And so it's because he's a pervert and pedophile himself, and he's refusing to put any laws in place for these obscenity laws and hardcore adult pornography in the United States, so they're getting flooded with it. And we also had Verizon, which they're Jewish, or this is Jewish controlled as well, pushing extreme hard pornography and pay-per-view movies into people's smartphones and tablets and internet providers everywhere. And also PlayStation as well, another Jewish one. Live streaming abilities are filling thousands of homes with live porn. And they're also watching you as well. Got cameras hooked up and hardwired in there and microphones. Facebook as well. This is one of the top places, and this is important, Dave, because we talk about sometimes putting up a comment or something. I got taken down off Facebook, and I had to go through all this weird stuff to get back on for a simple comment. Yet here they are in the Dirty Dozen list, pushing pornography and child pornography and sexual exploitation. So this is going through them as well as Barnes & Noble and also the Hilton hotel chains, Garth. And David, we had some stories out of veterans today with this. These Hilton chain hotels are providing hardcore pornography and movie choices and channels, and especially stuff with little kids. And they do this when they compromise people in the government or military. They have meetings and they send them to the Hilton, and a little boy's waiting, and they watch these movies and they rape them, you know. And then once they do that, Garth, as we've talked about, they're compromised. And if they ever say anything, they're going to bring it out the dirty laundry on
them. It becomes blackmail. Yep.
Yeah, and we also have Google, of course, and Tumblr and all these ones. So they're just constantly pushing it, you know.
Well, in the higher echelons, it's going back to the blackmail. Look at what Epstein would be getting. You think about what he's been filming, et cetera, et cetera, and who the people of influence are that, you know, he's got that power over. And, I mean, all you have to look is Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton. You know, to have a look at and see what happened there. Clinton obviously, you know, zigged when he should have zagged, and they didn't like it, so they outed his little girlfriend, I guess.
Well,
you could
Monica,
say.
Well, Monica was a Mossad agent.
But I think the father also has something to do with it as well, from what I recall. You know, look, the thing is that Israel itself is, you know, a totally different topic to everything else. I know what you're saying about the Jewish, but I prefer to call it a Zionist type thing. Because I'm Jewish myself, you're born that way. You've got no choice. even though, you know, even though I reject all the theology, et cetera, et cetera, you're just born that way. So I don't look at it, and I know Jewish people are actually quite nice, but the thing is that I look at it from a Zionist point of view and from a control point of view, you know, and it's almost as if that's part of the cabal and where it starts from. So I wouldn't say it was actually Jewish to a certain extent, but I would say that, you know, the large percentage of the people that do the blackmailing and do the filming would be, you know, that way inclined. So,
well, the problem with people like, you know, Adam and myself looking at it from this, I mean, you know, going way back, Dave, to when TV first came into this country, and they put the Holocaust on it, and the Holocaust was on the TV constantly. It was constant. It just was bang, bang, bang all the time. Now, I felt sorry for the Jews, and I really did. And I was, even though at the time they were in there putting the Palestinians back into the Stone Age. Now, you know, logically, that is wrong. You know, morally, that's wrong. But logically, the whole thing is just so twisted, it's ridiculous, that they were given the right, when you go back into way back into history, that the Jewish people had no right to Palestine. But okay, anyway, they got in there, so therefore, and I felt sorry for them. And so I said, well, okay, I'll go along with this and let them, you know. But then I read an article by John Pilger.
Yep.
And that's what changed my whole attitude. And I thought, is this right? You know, is this right? Because I was 100% convinced the Jews had a right to Israel, to Palestine, and what they were doing was good because of their own thing.
Well, most Christians are of the same opinion. I've come across a lot of Christian people that believe the same thing, that, you know, the Jews are the chosen people. Unfortunately, if you go back to Exodus and study Exodus, and don't even bother with the Leon Uris book, that's just garbage, but actually study Exodus itself, it says there were 12 tribes. Well, apparently there were 13. The 12 tribes that came from where they call Israel now, or Palestine, or whatever it's called, you know, scattered across the world, et cetera, et cetera. There's one tribe in there that didn't even come from there. They came from a place called
Russia.
Eastern Russia, now known as Kazakhstan. So they weren't even born there. Now, you look at Benny Netanyahu, right? Have a look at him. Now, is he Arab or is he Russian?
Russian. Yeah.
Well, he's Russian. He's a Khazar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And anyone that's done any study of the Bible or done any study on you know, theocracy or political leanings will understand that, you know, these imitation, I prefer to call them crypto-Jews, these imitation Jews have taken over Israel after, I think it was Rothschild bought 200,000 acres of desert land or something in order to establish Israel back in the 30s. And it wasn't until the British government came along in 1947, 48, I think, or 46 initiated it. And they basically just walked in and took over people's homes. Now, it's not right. It's wrong. And, you know, sorry, guys, but slap in the face, you're not the chosen people. You know, you're imposters. So as far as I'm concerned, see, my father ended up in a concentration camp during World War II. All his history was wiped. Everything was wiped. Everything was gone. He ended up in a camp for 3 years, and he came out literally starving. And what I got the story was that it wasn't – I mean, Auschwitz had, what, six ovens? How are you going to kill how many millions of people with
that's
six
right.
ovens?
That's right.
I mean, the thing is, these people starved to death after the Allies bombed all the bridges and the railway lines leading, you know, bringing supplies into these camps, which were actually forced labor camps. And there was no real, you know, extermination as far as I can find, but I can find a huge agenda at putting forward, you know, especially through the Nuremberg trials, you know, back in the 50s, this thing, well, the word Holocaust didn't even exist until the Nuremberg trials, and it's a Jewish word. And the thing is that, you know, so much history has been distorted and turned around and you know, labeled as truth, when in fact it's erroneous in its subject. The 6 million thing just riles me. I mean, there probably wouldn't even have been 6 million Jews in the world, let alone in Europe. From one of the books my father lent me, he said there was 330,000 or so in the Warsaw Ghetto. So they're blowing figures out of the water. The 6 million Jew things have been around since the Russian Revolution, the Bolshevik Revolution, 1915-17. I mean, there were 6 million Jews being persecuted then. That came out in the New York Times, et cetera, et cetera. You know, where do the lies end and where do we get the facts and we start to, you know, look at the real story.
It's well, that's right, because when you look at what's happening today with Germany, they're still going to pay reparations up until 2090 plus.
Yeah, I know.
And this is for the 6,000 so-called Jewish people that were supposed to be killed. But when you look at the white people, the so-called Goyim, how they describe us, there were millions more. And there's no way you can write that off and compare it to the small amount of Jews that were in the world. I mean, they represent about 2.5-3%.
I reckon the 6 million mark would have been tagged onto the Roma Gypsies to start with. Probably one of the most hated cultures in Europe. You know, they get booted around from country to country. But most of them went, to camps, in forced labor camps during the Second World War. So I reckon the 6 million should be applied there. But even I can't remember, it was the ADL or someone else that had downrated it to around about 1 million or 1.1 million. But yeah, it's a long time after the fact that the 6 million is still in there. If you go down to Rookwood Cemetery today, there's still a great big wall built with Australian taxpayers' money reminding us that there were 6 million Jews killed. So can we correct history somewhere, please?
Well, what I'm wondering is that the reparations that were forced on Germany, and they were a white race, and the Zionists, which I agree with you there, there is definitely a strong movement in there, and a lot of the Jewish people went along with it, which they have still today. I mean, recently I was reading a poll in America amongst the universities of the young Jewish students, and 70% still agreed with the Zionists in Israel.
Yep.
And this is a horrific number, 70%.
Yep.
Yeah, they believe this is frightening. This is the youth. I mean, this is not the oldies. This is the youth.
This
and
is
I mean,
the problem,
if they're 70%,
yeah, well,
this is a problem.
They're jumping on the Netanyahu bandwagon because he's telling them all go back to Israel now when the Zionists, as Dave said, they don't give
a
shit about Israel.
The ones perpetrating the acts to send them back.
They're going to wipe Israel off the face of the earth when they're finished with it. And there's a lot of Jews, Garth, over there who want this stopped as well, all around the world. But
I get emails. I'm on a site with them, and I actually talk to them. And I'm trying to sort of see how they feel about it. These are the people that don't want this crap.
The real.
I mean, we've all got to work together. Otherwise, we don't want a nuclear war. And Israel, have a look at how much nuclear armaments they've got.
Even against the UN, the UN said to them, they've repeatedly told the UN we don't have any nuclear arms, but we know that they do. We even had a Russian spy land in Australia about 20, 25 years ago. He had diagrams of their stuff that they had over there. I'm trying to remember his name now, but it was quite a famous case. And the thing is that he brought all these nuclear diagrams with him and plans, et cetera, that Israel were going to build, and he was actually scared that they were going to go through with it. And that's why he jumped ship. I'll remember his name and I'll give it to you when I can remember it, but... Yeah, it's definite that Israel have nuclear weapons, and it's definite that everyone around Israel knows that they have nuclear weapons as well, which is why Iran are trying to, beef up their nuclear capabilities, because they've seen what's happened with, Russia and America.
Oh, the UN stood down, didn't they, Garth? The United Nations stood down to letting inspectors go in and have a look at what type of weapons Israel have, Dave. They stood down again, the United Nations. Over this little country. So you're like left asking yourself, what the hell's going on here? And what
well,
do
it's
they
United
have?
Nations is controlled by Israel.
That's amazing.
I mean, if you go back to JFK, that was one of his big things he laid down, inspections and control of the nuclear expansion of Israel.
Yep.
He got his head blown
off. That could have been one of the things that got him nailed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think there were probably about three or four things.
Yeah, many.
That got him.
That,
yeah, yeah. yeah, everyone points at the Bay of Pigs, but the Bay of Pigs.
There was a whole
bunch
of stuff. Yeah.
Oh, there's a whole bunch of stuff. Mm. I mean, he was sort of like American royalty, and they didn't like that. There's even talk of it was actually, Papa Bush that popped him off, and that's how he got to the presidency. Because he was in the CIA for 14 years, but he won't verify that. So, it's a deep rabbit hole, that one. But anyway, listen, Yeah, the Warren Commission, read it and laugh.
The
magic bullet and all that sort of stuff.
The 9/11 truth report, same thing. Yeah. They've been doing it for how long now, just hoodwinking everybody, you know?
I'd like to see, after the Sydney siege that we had, the so-called, Monis, and overtaking the cafe with a shotgun, et cetera, et cetera. And then Tony Abbott, our Prime Minister, illustrious Prime Minister, that awards knighthoods to bloody princes.
The
pedophiles.
Yes.
We're not going to get anything here, Dave. I'll send you, Garth and I talked about this before, I'll send you the new book on Martin Bryant, written by Keith Allen Noble, and he's in Europe now, and he wanted me to spread it around to everyone, but as he said, there was no evidence proving Martin Bryant's guilt whatsoever. There was no motive, there was no fingerprints.
He was not supposed to survive the Seascape fire.
Exactly, and he didn't have any legal representation. There was no credible identification. There was no public inquiry. There was nothing. There was no proper firearm ownership, no DNA evidence. There's no coronial inquest.
The same thing again with the Monis.
The
job.
Same thing. So what are we
held
supposed
behind
to do?
Closed doors, and we won't know. Yeah, well, nothing. We just dig. Now I've got two photographs in Port Arthur. I managed to get them off Joe Viles' website. If you know Joe Viles, he's done quite a lot of work.
I've got his book here.
You got his book there?
When he first put it out. Yes.
Yep. Is that the Deadly Deception at Port Arthur with Wendy Spur?
That's right. Yeah, I communicated with Joe a number of times on email.
Yep,
and he was pretty abrupt. He didn't muck around with you. He was pretty full on, but I was interested in his version, and particularly of the Bali bombing.
Yes, yes, yes.
So he was right into that as well.
Scalar weapons.
Yep, I wouldn't say scalar. I'd say thermonuke.
Thermonuke.
Yeah.
What strips concrete off Rio and then bends the Rio downwards when an explosion? It goes in an upward motion.
Yeah.
Now, an explosion will always go in the direction of the least, resistance.
Resistance.
So if an explosion is let off in a building, what would strip the concrete off the Rio and bend the Rio down? You have to think about this. And also another example of exactly the same thing would be the Kenyan Mall massacre that happened, I think it was about 2 years ago, 2012.
Yeah,
and the police said they threw a bomb into the middle of some sort of incendiary device in the middle of the car park. Well, it wiped out 6 miles of the car park and everything underneath. And again, bending down Rio and the concrete just strip off, the Bali bombing of 2002, I've done a lot of study on that, and one of the guys was talking about the fact that he was an army guy, and his name I can't remember either at the moment.
I think I read that, Dave. I remember that.
Yeah, they closed him down.
Said his actual words were, "I've blown a lot of shit up in my life, but I've never seen anything like that." And this guy was a demolitions expert with the Australian Army.
Yeah.
So when people say things like that, it makes you think.
Well, the Howard government closed him down.
He's a lecturer now, and he still talks, but he won't talk about the Bali incident. And he's been sort of like muzzled, you could say.
Oh, yeah.
Well, of course he was. He was muzzled, and the Howard government did that.
Well, why do you think the Bali bombers were laughing in court? They knew it was a big joke.
Of course it was.
They were either going to walk them out the back and execute them, or walk them out the back, kick them up the bum, and say, go back to your chicken farm.
Yep.
We're talking about motorcycle mechanics and chicken farmers. How are they going to get the money together to build a bomb big enough to kill 202 people? Sorry, I don't buy it.
Well, Joe Viles claims it was one of those, suitcase bombs that were available at the time, and they were only available to Israel and America.
Yep.
So, we're bringing in the CIA and Mossad. Now,
again,
whether the KGB, and I would imagine they would have had an inkling of it, what was going on, and also MI5 and MI6 would have been right up there. But, I mean, I think the technology was either America or Israel or a combination of both.
It could have been either. The other thing I found astounding was when the bomb did go off, the AFP went up there. I mean, the AFP have absolutely no jurisdiction in Bali, Indonesia whatsoever. So why did we send our police force there? That's another thing that I scratch my head about.
Yeah.
So I mean, all these things that are going off around the world, especially in the past 20 to 30 years, you've got to question all of it, because nothing is as it seems. You know, there's no cowboys and Indians. There's no white hats, no black hats. Everything seems to be a big mess of God knows what. And Bali was just another one. 9/11 was another. You know, it's all meant to draw us into wars again. And that's, you know, the whole essence of 9/11 was to rally people against Muslims so we can go and attack the Muslim world. You know, and the thing is that we've got people like General Wesley Clark came out in 2007 and basically said since 1982, there's been seven countries in 5 years that were going to be taken down. And I quote, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Iran. Okay, now you've got those countries sitting there being overthrown as we talk. And then you've got these things called, you've got ISIS, Boko Haram, Al-Qaeda, Taliban, et cetera, which are all creations of Western nations. You know, and this is, who's in charge of all this?
I'll just pop this in, Dave, which a lot of people don't know. In World War II, right, between 1942 and 1944, Averell Harriman took over the control. He was an American, high up in the American government. He took over Russia from Stalin because Stalin had a mental breakdown. Now, that's history.
Is
that's
this Harriman still the Bush, Brown and Harriman bang?
Yeah, Averell Harriman. Yeah, they're a massively, massively wealthy Jewish family.
Yeah.
And that was the one the US Congress passed the Trading with the Enemy Act in 1942 with the stop them from funneling money to the Nazis. Yeah. Yep.
But he was over there taking over from Stalin. Can you believe that? Because Stalin had a nervous breakdown, and they had to keep the war going.
Yep.
They seem desperate.
So who's the enemy?
Yeah,
as
exactly.
You said earlier, you mentioned, who's the enemy? We don't know who the bloody enemy is.
We don't know who it is. No.
They need to keep the war going.
Yep. That's how they make their money. Well, and that's why people were put in camps during, you know, in Europe during World War II, was to make bombs, tanks, uniforms, et cetera, just to keep the damn thing going. You know, and when you find that out, you sort of think, well, who's organising all these wars? But has anyone ever looked at Albert Pike's Three Wars? Has anyone ever glanced upon that?
Have you guys? Yes, I have, yes. Yeah, yes, he wrote that in that book he wrote. Oh, God, I can't think of the name of it. What was it? Hello?
I can't remember the name of it either. I just know the document.
Oh, Morals and... Oh, dear me. Anyway, it's been a while since I've read it.
The tongue, Garth, you can get it. Come on, son.
No. Sometimes the old brain is so overstoked, mate, it starts to smoke.
Yes, I know. It starts to break down.
It's hard to keep all this information in. Morals and Dogma.
That's it, yep.
That's it, yeah. Yeah, Albert Pike. Well, he was a deviant if ever there was one.
Oh, yeah, I've heard he was a Satanist, et cetera. And, oh, Luciferian doctrine apparently is part of, Masonry. But then when you look at Lucifer, you try and understand what Lucifer is from a biblical perspective. He sounds like not such a bad guy because he enlightens people.
It's all part of the fear regime that they've created through the Catholic Church, you know, the possession and the devil. And when anyone thinks of someone who's died or in the afterlife, well, if they contacted them, they're going to be possessed. And when you die, it's evil and all this stuff. And that's what they've demonized death. They've demonized the whole human experience through fear. And that's what they feed on.
Well, it's fear. Fear. Yes, they feed on fear and they create fear. Yep. And that goes right back full circle, doesn't it, to the energy thing and what they've done to stop us utilizing the rest of our brains.
Yeah. And it's interesting you were saying that before. It seems that some documents I looked at, our DNA almost acts like an antenna. And so they're able to manipulate our senses and emotions through that. Like if you look at it like that, and this is tuned in, what it was saying in an article is this is tuned into the moon frequency, as you mentioned before. And so they're saying with all these frequency vibrations and this food we eat and pollution and vaccines and images and films that they keep us sort of pinned down in this state of fear, which is something is being obviously feeding on, Dave, which is sort of a low-density energies. What Garth and I look at, it's sort of negative states of fear and disaster and violence and war. When our bodies experience these types of things, we seem to admit sort of an energy that sits in a certain frequency, it says, ranging in this, and these creatures may be able to hone in and feed on this, you know?
Yeah, and they leave everyone left behind with PTSD.
Exactly,
And people can't function under PTSD. It's incredibly
brain damage as well. Yeah, it's I don't know, Garth. It seems that it's like this indeed, you know. You know, I would absolutely say that something is almost beating on us and selling us off, you know. And it just seems, as we said before, they're so desperate to keep these wars going. And you look at wars, you look at the Vietnam War, Dave. What for?
What for?
Well, none of it really makes any sense. And then you start to ask yourself about all these wars and this miserable condition human beings are being kept in. You sort of wonder, you know. It's almost like to me that there's something on this planet that wants to keep us ignorant, dumb, and asleep. They don't want us to find out something about us, about who we really are. And they'll do anything to keep us blinded from that, for sure. Absolutely seems like that, you know.
Yep. I was given a book called The Serpent's Promise, and the guy's name was he's emeritus professor at the College University London. I could have got that wrong. His name's Steve Jones, and he's a professor in DNA, and his book was absolutely eye-opening. It was just startling to me. You know, all of a sudden human beings were basically bang out of North Africa 400,000 years ago. They just turned up. Yeah. And he goes right back to say that, you know, there were certain strands of DNA that you know, they talk about giants in the Bible. Well, he's managed to go through and find giants in Ireland and examine their DNA, and yes, there is a strand of giants.
Oh, yeah, in Patagonia as well.
Yeah, and quite a lot of other places as well, but some of the stuff he'd written in his book, I can't quote any of it because it's very deep and very long, but it rattled my brain for quite a bit. It took me a month to get through the book. It was that hard. It was one of those ones I had to put down and sit down and think for an hour, you know, and then go back to the next page. So it sort of, you know, but it's also Michael Tellinger.
Yeah.
And his Adam's calendar, you know, in North Africa, he's also come up with the same idea. You know, 400,000 years ago, humans just went bang, and he reckons he's found the baby factory that made all the humans. Yeah. So who made us?
Exactly.
You know, there's also.
Well, Michael Challenger is working with the Strongs in Australia.
Yep.
And that's very interesting because he came out to Australia to have a look at some of the sites the Strongs could show him.
Yep.
And that was fascinating because, as we know, the Strongs claim that it all came out of Australia, not out of Africa.
Yeah, I've heard that claim as well.
And that's a fascinating theory. But also what I find fascinating is that when Stephen was talking to us last time, when you go, he said, when they take the mitochondrial DNA way back, there's a strand there that they can't explain.
Yep.
And this means off the planet strand, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yeah.
But I could be hopelessly wrong because I tend to.
Oh no! As you said, Garth, they don't. What they actually call most of our DNA junk, and they are scared of looking into our so-called junk DNA for what they will find, and it's going to lead off planet.
Well, yes. I've also read that some of our two of our chromosomes were fused together. I mean, we can't even do that now. How did they do that hundreds of thousands of years ago?
That's right.
You know,
well, what's his name? We've had him on too, with the skull child.
Lloyd Pye.
Lloyd Pye.
Yeah, we spoke
to
him.
He's just passed away, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, it was very strange, Dave. We didn't want to say anything. You know, and be disrespectful and anything, but very funny. You know, I spoke to him a lot, and Garth, and we talked to him, and he sent us some books. He was so excited, And I read an article with a lady because he spoke in London, and she spent a whole week with him and said she's never seen a healthier man. He really looked after himself, and he was so excited about doing this. And it just seems he's another one that got one of these incurable cancers, like the Venezuelan president, Hugo Chavez. He came out and said that, you know, that the president of Cuba, Castro, warned him and told him, be careful, these people have weapons that can give you cancer. So really strange. And Lloyd's passed away, unfortunately, but, you know, maybe he did get too close here.
Maybe
you know?
He did.
Yeah, when
maybe
those people get too close, they seem to disappear, don't they?
Well, yeah, it's like the cancer that, I can't remember, the guy back in the, I think it was the 70s or the 80s, and he contacted it. He was the head astronomer at the U.S. Naval Base. I'm trying to think of where it was. I can't remember his name now, but he got an aggressive cancer that knocked him out in 6 months.
Yep, incurable. So,
yeah. And it's just like, well, again, cancer might be caused by frequencies as well. We don't know all this sort of stuff.
Well, we looked at many articles. There was one about even Bob Marley, where the CIA planted some type of little device, like a little pin in his shoe when he used to play football or something, and it stabbed him and killed him, gave him cancer. If you look back way in the 50s, 40s, 60s, whatever you want, look at CIA cancer weapons and types of things they were using. It's really unbelievable. I can't imagine what they have now. We don't know if they're, you know, if they're giving people flu shots and activating it through things the doctors do, or they can activate it through satellites.
Well, there's that. What was his name? Poroshenko was his name, the spy that was killed in London with polonium-220.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
yeah, that sounds pretty much. Yeah.
Oh, they reckon it was worst, one of the worst postmortems they've ever done on anybody, because everyone was rugged up like they're waiting for the atomic bomb to explode. So, who knows? Who knows?
I remember seeing him on the news, dying.
Yep,
he was in bed in hospital.
Yep. Well, yep.
That's him.
Well, the guy that was talking about, Lloyd Pygarth, said that they get you in for a flu shot or an injection, and then they'll bring you back later and give you like a scan or something. And I actually spoke to people. They said that they came from another country. One lady was from South Africa and said she had that done. With her doctor, and I just thought it was weird. She said she got some shots, and then she went back later, and they lie you down, and they put her in the scan machine, and this guy was saying that can activate the cancers that they're putting you, because obviously the vaccines do have stealth cancer weapons in them. That's why all the kids are getting sick and getting leukemia. We always talk about that, but I don't know at what state, technology-wise, where they're at, if they're able to use type of microwave weapons or something, Dave, and just point it at us, you know? And, you know, they can crush our organs. They can set off any number of different types of tumours in our brain or cancers in our bodies with these weapons. So it's getting quite staggering, you know?
Yeah, well, as Dave mentioned, it's harmonics.
Yeah, exactly, with our
There's
bodies.
No
They've obviously
it.
Figured it
yeah.
out, Garth.
It's harmonics.
Know? Yeah, and they can just make the population sick.
To anyone out there that doesn't think that this stuff exists, put it this way. When my old man was working for companies like Hewlett-Packard, Hawker de Havilland, etc., back in the 70s, he was working on the TVs that we're watching now. So he was into those sorts of things, you know, technological advancements that we wouldn't have even thought about back then. You know, and when I look at the TV I look at now, it's, you know, I say, well, see that TV? Said, yeah, well, my father's working on those back in 1972. And people think, well, you know, wow. So what have they got? How many years advanced governments, military, et cetera, the scientific community? I reckon most of the scientific community is just thrown down the gutter anyway and just given a few grants to go and study, you know, why toast falls butter side down. They're not really, you know, looking at anything. Meanwhile, the military industrial complex has got all sorts of complex little goodies that we don't even know about. No, don't even touch on, you know, scalar weaponry. Tom Beard's work on scalar weaponry is brilliant when you start reading it, and then you think, well, he was doing that in the 60s. So what they've got, we have no idea, no idea whatsoever.
Well, so was, what was his name? The electrical guy.
Tesla.
Tesla, he was into it as well as Scalar. And this is quite incredible going way back there. Where did he get it from? That's the fascinating part.
Well, no
one
really knows.
Where did Tesla get it from?
You know, well, they sent him broke and he died a penniless broken-hearted man. They took all his inventions and gave them away to certain people. You know, some people got the telephone, some people got electricity, or you know.
Well, they raided him when he died, and I think they killed him. That's just my opinion, because I'm very sceptical about that, because they burnt his laboratory down.
Yep.
This was after J.P. Morgan pulled the money out when he found out
they tore down the Tesla Tower. Yep.
Well, he couldn't put a what do you call it,
a monetary value on it, because it was free energy.
No, he couldn't put a machine on it to pay for the energy that Tesla was producing, because it was free.
Yep. He wasn't getting any money.
Yeah, that's right. So when Morgan found out about that, he pulled the rug from under his feet. And, of course, then it was all downhill for Tesla, because suddenly his laboratory strangely burnt down. Now, here's a man involved in all this sort of technology. So, strangely enough, it burnt down. And then the CIA, when he died, they came in and took all his patents.
Yeah,
now, this is illegal. This is absolutely illegal. But they got away with it.
Yep, they certainly did.
Took all these, because they were watching the guy. They knew what was happening, and they didn't know what Tesla knew, but the Tesla was into this, the same thing the Nazis were into, which was this this zero-point energy.
Well, not only that, the Nazis went after the Holy Grail. They were desperate to get on the Holy Grail, because from what I have read and understood, the Holy Grail is the energy producer from inside the pyramids. Now, I don't believe the Egyptians built the pyramids.
I don't think so either.
No, you cannot build such a precision monument with eight sides. If you look at the pyramid from the top in the shade, you'll see that it has eight sides and not just the four. But I believe they were great big, huge power conduits or conductors, and there were many of them around the world from a previous civilization, and they've been left over. And I believe that the Ark itself is one of these power masses from inside the pyramid, and that's what they were after. If they could get their hands on this, then they could create something out of it, or use it as a weapon, which most humans do when they create something, don't they? They use it as a weapon first. But, that was an interesting little rabbit hole to dive down. So I think Tesla was on the basic idea. He had the right premise, the right ideas, et cetera, but he was shut down because he was just getting too close to the truth.
Mm. Well, that's right, because he was on the truth. There's no doubt about it. And a lot of his experiments were actually there was one in Russia that he was supposed to have done, and it flattened this enormous area, but it was a test case of this electromagnetic energy, which is rather credible. Now, I don't know about that. I've just read about it, and whether it was true or not, I don't know. But he certainly knew about the energy which is driving all the planets, which is plasma energy.
Yep,
and that's certainly knew all about
between
that.
The planets and the sun.
That's right.
Exchange between the planets and the sun, and so it's obviously a creative force. So trying to harness that, or you know, use it in such a way that Tesla was trying to. I mean, if you go to the website RT today, you will find drone footage of a Tesla-type, what would you call it? I can't call it a coil. It's this massive structure that apparently the Russians were playing around with in order to create free energy as well.
Yeah, well, it does. It goes way back. And, I mean, this is where Joseph Farrell wrote a number of books on the Nazis, and but they were using this energy for weaponry and not for the good of man, whereas Tesla wanted to use it for the good of man.
Yep.
And that's the difference. And this is why they wiped him out, because he wasn't going to go along with their little things. And with the Nazis, it appears, according to Joseph Farrell, now I'm not going to argue with any of these guys. They're much smarter than I am. But at least I can say from what I think, that, yes, I would agree with him that they were using it as a weapon, because it's never, ever, none of Tesla's stuff has ever come back and helped us as human beings.
Exactly, exactly. Even if the aliens came down tomorrow and gave us some fantastic machine that would cure all cancer and make all, you know, make things all better. I'm sure the humans would sort of make a way to turn it into a weapon and use it on each other.
Exactly.
It just seems to be human nature.
Yeah, so, it's amazing.
And so that's you start to question then, like, what is human nature? I mean, we're basically the parasites on the bum of the earth, you know?
Well,
one day the world's going to turn around and shake us off. It's probably done so previous.
It's sick.
You know? That's what's going to happen.
Well, I put a story up on the Facebook page, Garth and Dave, about Dominic Strauss-Kahn.
Yep.
And he's testified to having orgies. And this was while he was managing the world financial crisis.
He was the head of the IMF.
Yeah, yep. And this is why when we had this financial crisis and we look at the human suffering and how many people lost everything and what was going on this planet, Garth, and this guy was having orgies while he was supposed to be managing this. And so, you know, you just can't believe this. And two prostitutes that were testifying, they described beast-like scenes involving sometimes brutal sex practices and said that
they felt like meat
in a slaughterhouse.
Yep.
And so we hear again, Garth, beast-like scenes. This is Strauss-Kahn. While he was supposed to be managing the world financial crisis, he's having, these beast-like sex orgies. So what type of people, if you can call them that, are they? I mean, it's just unbelievable. While the world sinks and goes down in all this horror and chaos, these people are having orgies. So
that's why I think it's satanic.
Yeah, it's like they...
It's out of this world.
Yeah, they don't have any emotion, Garth. They don't have any morals. I just think that this is off-world. I think this reptilian or archontic infection is correct because they seem to be possessed by something. I know that it's in a lot of humans we can... We can conjure up things to act like this, but we still have the ability to say yes or no, and we still are able to assess what we're doing and not do it. But these people don't seem to feel anything.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all. There's just nothing there with these people, and they're running the planet.
I'm at the moment putting together bits and pieces for a book that I'm about to start in 6 months. It started off with narcissistic personality disorder. And I decided to look down that and also psychopathy at the same time.
Yeah.
They're mutually exclusive, you could say.
Different.
But they're different, but they're the same. And I started with the NPD, and that really opened my eyes to a lot of things. There'll be a lot of interviews coming up with psychiatrists, psychologists, et cetera, in the book itself. But these people will destroy lives just for the sake of sitting back and watching lives being destroyed. It's almost as if they... They love it. It's a sadistic sort of like
pleasure.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
I don't understand it because I've got a moral compass and I have ethics, you know, and I can't do the same things that they do. I can't kill people. I can't torture people. I can't do these sorts of things because not only do I know it's wrong in a legal sense, but in my mind and in my heart and my soul, you can't do that to another human being. So that puts you at an immediate disadvantage to these people because they will go that one extra step that you can't provide.
Well, that's what Judy Byington said, Garth, isn't it?
Like, yes.
They're having, America, they're having these satanic sexual black masses, Dave, just in houses in neighborhoods. And they're preying on girls and they're taking them very young and babies.
John Benet Ramsey.
Yeah. And you're like, what the hell? This could be going on next door. So I thought these people were the same as me. So what is what defines human beings and what makes us so different? And that's what Garth and I have been saying. Are they being possessed through these black masses by this archontic sort of infection? And it's obvious they can't operate here. They're operating from outside the planet, but they're able to control.
Or is it in their DNA? Well, this is the thing. Like, are they born or bred?
Exactly.
Now, you've got to ask yourself this question. Is it nature or nurture?
It's crazy because I've said to Garth before, you do get dark yourself sometimes. There is that ability in you to get really angry at someone and want to kill someone when you're angry and stuff. There seems to be something in it, all of us. But as you just said, you have a moral compass and we can sort of, we can digest it, look at the situation and say, I'm not going to do that. But these people can't. And it's just weird because they tell us we're all human beings and we're all skin and bone. Well, what's
this is the
going
thing
on here?
One of the things I found out with the narcissistic personality disorder is the fact that they are compulsive. They can't help themselves.
Yeah, compulsive.
Even if you put a big red button on a wall and write don't press above it, the first thing I want to do is press it.
It's their behavior.
Even if a great big 10-ton block falls off the top of a building and squashes them to death, they've still got to do it. It's just this obsessive, compulsive behavior that they've got to...
Narcissism compared to psychopathic. Psychopathic people are very careful of their own bodies.
Yes, they are. Yeah, and they're actually more intelligent. Seen,
you know, they don't... any risks to themselves... And this is why, just very briefly, we went back. I'll mention back to Stalin why, while he was a psychopath and he had a mental breakdown because Germany was looking as though they were going to take over Russia. Yeah. So these psychopaths, they can't handle that, you see, because it gets back to their own body. So their whole world is evolved around themselves.
Yep.
A narcissistic people, yes, it is. But I think. As far as I understand, there's a bit of a gap there. There's a fair gap there between the two because one is totally able to kill and destroy, but is a narcissistic person able to do that? In my opinion, yes.
I think with the difference between a psychopath and a narky is the fact that psychopaths have a lot more control where narkies don't. Narkies just can't help themselves. You know, they've got to take 35,000 selfies in a day and all that sort of thing. They just cannot control it. They don't realize how it looks to the outside world either. They think they're perfectly normal and well-balanced and everything else. But, you know, and having experienced these people personally, which is why I started to delve into the book, is the fact that, you know, they say that, you know, 4% of the 4% of the population is psychopaths. That's the figures I've been given, but I reckon it's more.
I'd say about
just go 20% and higher, and then we add in another 40% of the NPDs, and we've got half the world that's just basically running around trying to kill themselves and everybody else.
What would you make of President Joe Biden, Dave?
That lovely little smooch that he gave to someone else's wife yesterday. Is that the fella?
Well, there's a picture come out. I put it up. It's Hands Off, Don't Grope. And there's a whole bunch of photos of him groping all these people. And it just seems like it's pouring out of him, like he can't contain himself.
Yep.
You know,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And he's not thinking there's anything wrong with it because he doesn't have that moral compass. So he's looking at, he's just doing what he wants to do because he's compulsively needing to do it.
He just can't stop touching these girls in public, you know? And he's a vice president, so people are going to be taking photos of everything he does.
If I sat here, you know, for an hour or so, I could bring up so many names that you could have a look at and the same behavior. You know, even Bush massaging Merkel's shoulders and things like that. It's just... they don't understand inappropriate behavior.
It just seems that it's so full of these people. And like we said, Garth, in the court systems as well, it's like it's just now become, you know, so full of these people that they're spilling out of these places and they don't seem to notice their behavior or care about their behavior anymore, that everyone's got a smartphone, everyone's watching. You do one thing and it's all over YouTube and all over social media. And these people, this guy still can't help himself from groping. Even though he knows everyone's going to be talking about it, but it's just the slime's pouring out of him, you know?
Yep, and there's quite a few of them out there.
There's a lot. I've known a few, particularly men.
They're real slimy, aren't they? You can see it. Yeah.
They just can't control themselves.
I would recommend a book. I know it's pretty hardcore, but I'd recommend a book, Dave, American Psycho by Ben Easton.
Bret Easton Ellis.
Yeah,
yep.
Everyone should read that and take a look at that because that'll give you an idea of not only the psychopaths, but as you said, Dave, how slick they are. You know, they can do something and work out in their brains how to get away with everything that they've done, you know?
Is that movie, Adam, where – was there a movie on that where the guy was killing all these women?
There was a movie, terrible movie made on it, but, that's what
– It was about these young guys that were – into the stock exchange and making lots of money.
Yeah.
Is that the one?
Yeah, and it was Christian Bale, I think, in it. And there's a scene where they're all around the – They're Wall Street guys in the 80s, and there's where he's got a new card, you know, to give out, and another guy's got a better card, and then he invites him over later, and there's all plastic everywhere, and you see him walk past with an axe. He didn't like that this guy had a better business card than him, and that's what Dave was talking about. They are absolutely control freaks. They cannot stop themselves, you know, so that's an important book.
This is where narcissism, which he kept looking in the mirror and doing himself up.
Yeah, with the shampoos and
comes into psychopathy.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, the book was heavy going. The book was something like 600 and something pages.
Very scary.
And it was very, very detailed.
Oh, my God. Yeah, nothing like the movie. I wouldn't bother with a movie, but if you want to sort of get a picture of what these people are like that are running our planet, you can read that. And working on Wall Street and in these banking institutes, Garth. Absolute psychos. And there's a lot of them, as Dave knows, and I know, in just in general businesses, running warehouses and companies that are managing people. They're psychopaths. Oh,
yeah. Adam, you and I have both come across the one we're talking about. We've worked with. He's still operating under the same auspices down at the same place.
Same thing.
And he will stand there and watch everybody and plan everything to the nth degree, you know. He never raises his voice. But he is just so cold. It is not funny. And anything you come across and try and reason with him, he will not listen to. It's his way or the highway.
And these people in that place, Dave, you know, they used to make fun of me because, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist, and, oh, the terrorists did 9/11, did they?
Yeah.
And they used to sit there and make fun of me, and they'd get their, he would do it, and he'd try and challenge me, this guy. And so I'd just start giving some facts and start asking him some questions and saying, well, what about this, what about that? And then he would go over and get some people, and they'd stand in the corner, and they'd revert to a childlike mentality and start making fun of me. And I'm like, this is just ridiculous. They cannot have an argument. They cannot stand there and have a conversation with you about any of this.
The sky's red.
Yeah, they just turn into children.
Yep. You know, and I've come across a couple of them. Just various workplaces I've worked at, you know, it's usually the higher up, and they're the most ruthless, and that's why they get to be higher up. And that's why you find a lot of psychopaths, et cetera, and CEOs.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Well, that's what Greg Hallett writes about. Have you read any of Greg Hallett's stuff, Dave?
No, I haven't, actually. I'll write it down.
Well, very interesting, because he gets right up, because they're all compromised, and it's pretty brutal. And he goes right up to the royals and the whole mob.
He's from New Zealand.
Just a bit like David Icke.
Yep.
He doesn't spare any punches.
Oh, when you hear Greg Hallett on New Zealand and Helen Clark, that she was a KGB agent and all this, Dave, and you listen to it, Greg Hallett is a freak. You just can't believe this guy. And he's done his business, hasn't he, Garth?
He certainly has, because he was involved with mind control.
Yeah, he knows. Yeah.
Went over to Russia for 5 years and he studied mind control, and he was a very clever bloke. And he was impressed. He impressed parts of the KGB.
Yep.
Anyway, when you read into his story, an agent from KGB came back to New Zealand with him, and he was being monitored by the authorities there because of things he did in the children's court. He was battling to keep his son, I think it was. Anyway, he realized how polluted the whole system was, and he took it from there. But anyway, this guy, he was quite wealthy, Greg Hallett, at the time. He was a very successful architect, and this guy came over and stayed with him for 3 months from the KGB and became his chauffeur for 3 months, and they drove around New Zealand for 3 months while Hallett was sitting in the back taking notes. And it all started from there, his books. It's absolutely amazing what he's writing about. Now, whether he's right or not, I don't know. Just talking about it. But I tell you what, what you guys are saying is exactly what he's talking about, is that it goes right to the top. I mean, Helen Clark was married to a pedophile. She married this guy, evidently, according to Hallett, because she had to appear married. So the press got in behind it and supported.
Don't even start me on Judy Gillard, then, will you?
Pumped it all up. Yeah, well, that's right. And there we go. But this guy was a child, a pedophile, a homosexual. There's no way in the world he would have married a woman.
Yeah, he was talking about the worst type of pedophile, homosexual, deviant scumbag you are in New Zealand, the higher you climb up the social ladder and get all sorts of news jobs and anchorman jobs.
Yep.
Have a look at her. She's in, the, Well, she's up in the United Nations now in number three job.
Because, Garth, as Craig Howlett explains, which is so beautifully said, you know, they're all compromised, and the worse they get, the more dirt they got on them. So they can get them up so high, and they get their cushiony job and their money, but if they go against the system, they'll release all the information on them.
And, well, they say the shit flows to the top.
Yeah, and that's what we heard about the Iraq war, didn't we, Garth, when the CIA brought out all the smut files on all the different people running different governments around the world. They bring out the smut files to get them involved in the wars. You know, so it's unbelievable that the CIA have smut files.
So you got to go along with Helen.
Yeah,
you really
got to, because
they're all
sense.
Compromised.
Absolutely, and of course they're going to do that. And as they get into the system, Garth, and they get more demonic, and it gets more severe for them, and they get more devious, you know. It just gets worse, and they can never get out.
Well, that's right. How could, like Ted Heath, how could you explain how that man remained in power for so long and died without even being questioned and what he did?
Well, you could say the same thing about Jimmy Savile, couldn't you?
Well, exactly. And it was Savile. It was, and the BBC knew exactly what he was up to.
And also,
everyone knew. I've come across a video of in 1978, John Lydon from the Sex Pistols said he'd like to kill Jimmy Savile. It's available on YouTube. Just look it up. And he says, I can't say anything. He wanted to kill Jimmy Savile. He says, I can't say anything because I'll be in front of the courts. And he just basically. It only was released a year or two ago, and it was recorded at the BBC as well. And he's talking about Jimmy. Yeah, he was talking about Jimmy Savile back in 1976 or 78, I think it was. So they'd known for all this time, you know. And for Johnny Rotten to come out and basically, you know, actually one of my heroes for doing so, to come out and say, you know, there's something wrong with this guy. You know, I don't want to be slapped with any libel laws, it's all suits or anything like that. He said, well, I'd love to kill Jimmy Savile. You know, he's on my list of people I'd love to kill for various reasons. So, it's on YouTube. Go and have a look at it. It's worth it.
Yeah.
What about the police report, Dave, that was censored by Buckingham Palace of Savile's last police interview? Buckingham Palace, like on their orders, parts of that were taken out, which mentioned them.
Yeah, and can you find any recordings or any information, etc., on what was his name? Cliff Richard being interviewed back in the early 80s, not once, not twice, but three times by Scotland Yard.
Yeah.
There's nothing. I can't find anything on it. You know, and it's only just come out now that he was, in fact, interviewed three times over it. So who are these people? You know, Cliff Richard, butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. Your grandmother loved him. We'd buy his records.
Yeah.
But then you've got these accusations coming out, and you think, well, how do these people, you know, who's covering for them? Who's, you know, who's at the top? Who's,
well, what,
you know,
about who's old Rolf?
Just good old Rolf Harris. Yeah, tie me little girl down. My God.
Tie me.
Tie me little girl down. It's laughable,
down,
but it's sick.
Tie me little girl down.
Yep. Well, Mike Carlton, I think, was the one that summed him up in the Sydney Morning Herald. When he was going through the trial, and Mike Cullen had interviewed him three or four times, and he said that, you know, he was just a really abrupt, horrible type person until the lights went on, and all of a sudden he was, you know, Mr. Charisma.
Psychopath.
Yeah, yep.
Getting ready for a kill almost. That's what they're like.
Almost. Trust British paints, yeah.
Yeah.
It just makes me wonder. Wonder how much more is out there. Well, we don't know. We just don't know.
Oh, my God. It's a deep rabbit hole, Dave.
Isn't it?
Sure. It's, all right. We might pack it in now, Dave. What do you reckon?
Yeah, mate, if that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. I've had a great time.
All right. We'll get you on again.
Nice. Have a good
get you on soon for a chat, and keep your papers in order, and keep writing down everything. Keep everything there, and we'll get you on again. And it's always good to have a chat and go over all this stuff.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. The book you're making.
Yes, well, yeah, Dave, that sounds amazing.
That's an area I think that should be looked at apart from our professional people, because I don't think they know too much about it, to be quite
probably
honest, you know.
Probably not. I'm hoping to write it in a way that ordinary thinking people can access it without being bamboozled by, you know, science, et cetera, from a layman's perspective.
That's right.
So people can look at it and say, yes, well, I can understand this behavior, understand that behavior, and now I can attribute to what's causing that behavior. So I mean, and not only that, goes to the roots of things like domestic violence, et cetera, et cetera. And we wonder why we've got such a swathe of domestic violence after all these years of enlightening. And that's probably the reason behind it more than anything else. You know, power and control, that's domestic violence. It's not exactly hitting somebody. It's all about power and control. And who likes power and control?
Well, we have 50 Shades of Grey now, where all the housewives are wetting themselves over, Dave, and that's exactly what that's about.
50 Shades of Garbage.
Yeah, it's about, you know, it's about that, exactly. Power over women. Yeah, yeah, it's about pedophilia, and they're all bloody lining up to laugh and watch their own demise at the cinema. I just can't believe it. They pay for it as well. You know, they pay to be mocked and humiliated.
Yes,
as
exactly.
The whole culture gets flushed down the toilet, and they go and pay for it, which is deeply disturbing, but it's the way it is. And, all right.
All right. Well, thanks, guys, for having me on.
Great.
Yeah, good to talk to you, Dave.
No, it's good. I'd love to do it again.
Very good. Yeah, and when I finish this link, I will pop it on your Facebook page. Is there any nice photos you would like to me to use, Dave? Or should I grab any? I've got a Hot Nuts one. Do you want me to use that?
just grab a stock photo from somewhere. As long as it's not copyrighted by Getty Images, that's fine.
No, I've got one. You standing in front of the world's best Hot Nuts machine. So I'll put that one up. That's like a nice photo. Okay. You're very handsome there.
That'll do fine. All right. Well, thanks, Adam.
All right.
Thank you, Garth.
Okay, Dave.
Speak again soon.
All right. All the best.
Hope to talk soon. Okay.
See you, mate.
Thanks, gentlemen.